Everyone faces challenges, but it's how we deal with them that really matters. I'm Camille Bauer, and I'm going to help you see that life can go from bad to worse. But if you have faith and trust in the Lord and put on your big girl pants, then those hard times will help strengthen your faith, refine your character, and make you who you were destined to be. Hey everybody, this week I wanted to talk about faith. Why do we need faith? How do we strengthen our faith? For me, faith brings peace and joy and hope in those dark, horrible, hard times of our life. Faith is to me that belief in my Savior Jesus Christ and my Heavenly Father that they can get me through whatever hard time I'm going through, that they're there, that they're listening, and that they love me. And having that knowledge and that mindset helps me when it's dark and when it's hard. Faith is hoping for things, believing in things, which you can't see, but that are true. And having that belief and that hope in our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ helps us to be able to get through those hard times, to know that we are loved by a great, amazing God, that we are His children, we are His spirit children here on earth, and that He will help us and strengthen us when we need it. That's powerful. And when we can realize that, when life gets hard, we can get through the hard. So I wanted to share a couple of things this week that I really haven't shared with very many people at all. And for me, it's one of the most faith-building experiences that I've ever had in my life. So Clint and I had 3 kids. And when our baby was 8 months old, his cancer came back. And it had gone, like I said in a previous episode, 11 years without it. And then it came back. And, you know, we had our baby that's 8 months. And there was like, there's no way I can take care of a new baby plus take care of a husband that is in and out of the hospital and in and out of so many doctor's appointments. And our life was turned upside down, but we soon realized that having sweet, amazing little baby squishy cheeks every day looking at us with his big blue eyes ready to play helped us live in the moment. But I always wanted to have another baby, right? You think, okay, we had 3 children, and I had a dream once before Wyatt was born that there was this cute little 2-year-old girl with overalls and just dark curly hair. And I just turned to Clint and I was like, in the morning, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I dreamt about a little girl. And we picked a name out. And then when we had Wyatt, it was a boy. And so I was like, okay, well, you know, I hated having 2 babies in diapers. So I wouldn't even entertain the thought of even trying again until our baby could wipe their own bum. So I knew when Clint's cancer came back, it was like, whoa, yeah, nope, we're not doing that. And that's definitely not on our list of priorities right now, taking care of a husband that has a cancer diagnosis. And as the years went by and we found out that the cancer wasn't going away, we soon decided that there's no way that I'm going to, you know, I didn't even bring it up. You know, it was just that thought and that hope for that normal life that I wished we were going to have that I knew we weren't. So I just locked that away in my heart and never let it out and never thought about it because I knew that that wasn't what's meant to be if he's had a terminal diagnosis. And when Clint came home, it was in September and we were in the hospital and he came home on hospice and he said, you know, he declared that he wanted to be done and be home with his family. And when he came home, I didn't really grasp the fact, but he was like a heightened Yoda master of light. I don't know what happened exactly in the hospital. He was unconscious and on like a life support. It was like 1 step before life support for about a day and a half. And there were some really sacred spiritual things that happened in when he woke up, he told me about. And our stake presidency came, which is like the priests and gave him a blessing. And I didn't really know then, but looking back now, I could see that whatever happened there in that hospital at that time, like, lifted his spirit so high that he felt so good. He didn't think he was going to die. Like, he, in the hospital, he said, I want to go home and spend time with my family. And when we got home that night, he was like, Camille, I'm going to get better. I feel good. And what do you tell somebody who is dying, who says they're not going to die? I mean, you don't. You don't tell them anything. You say, that's great, and I'm so glad you feel good. And then that next morning, it was a Sunday, so true to Clint form, right? He's like, let's go to church. I'm just like, okay. You know, so I'm getting him ready in the morning and putting on his socks. At that point, he was walking with a walker most of the time, full-time oxygen support. And as I'm bending down to put on his socks, I started with the one sock and he grabbed my hand and pulled me up and looked at me and he said, hey, I'm going to get better. I'm feeling good and I'm not going to die, Camille. And we're supposed to have another baby. And I just looked at him and it broke my heart. What do you do, right? What do you tell somebody in that situation? So I just looked at him and he looked at me and he started to cry and he's just like, I know, she's still up there. Let's have our little baby. Let's move forward with our life and I'm not going to die. This is not the end for me. And just looked at him and said, you know what? Let's put your other sock on and let's get ready for church so we're not late. And then I felt like Jesus's mom in the scripture where she says, and Mary pondered all these things in her heart. And I just sat there almost. And that's what I did the whole rest of the day, right? It just mulled over the anxiety and even the thought of that in my mind that maybe we should try to have a baby, right? And it's completely not what you would do. You would not, it doesn't make rational sense. But that was a Sunday. The next day was Monday and I had an IUD, which had no hormones in it at all. So I called and talked to his team, his doctor's team, and kind of told him what I was thinking, and they said, oh yeah, given everything he's on wouldn't affect anything if he was to seed a baby, right? And I made an appointment with my doctor, my OB, which he's normally so slammed, and they fit me in that day as like an emergency appointment, and I went in and I got my IUD out, and it was scary. It was hard, but I knew, and I had faith that, like, oh my gosh, if there's meant to be another Bauer here on the earth, I will gladly do that. Another piece of Clint here would make the world a better place. And so I don't think I've, and I didn't really tell anybody, but that was the most faith I ever had in my whole entire life. Because I knew I was losing him no matter what he thought. He was not getting better. I saw the x-rays. I saw the MRIs, all the tests. Like, I knew the writing was on the wall and he was going to be gone in a matter of weeks. And I was scared. But I also put all my faith and trust in my Heavenly Father. And I'm so grateful that I did. And let's see. So 3-4 weeks went by. That was like the beginning of September. I think that was September 7th that I got my IUD out, 2015. I think I remember that right because it was Gunner's birthday. His birthday, September 7th. So I remember coming home right in time for his birthday party that we were trying to throw together. Oh, fast forward to the day of Clint's funeral and I started my period. And so that was a very emotional day on more ways than you could imagine. And as I fast forwarded about, I don't know, 3 months and looked back, I was so grateful to my Heavenly Father that he gave me that gift, because I would have forever looked back and regretted not doing it had I not had the faith in my Savior Jesus Christ and been brave enough to do that. I would have never forgiven myself. And oh my gosh, I don't know, I'd be this emotional talking about this. I don't really talk about it very much. But as I was contemplating faith and what I wanted to share, and as I thought about the most faith that I've ever had to have, that was the experience. That experience scared me and I just turned it all over to God. And now I look back and I'm like, I'm so happy I did. I have so much peace and comfort that I know that I was not meant to have another one of his children. That I know that dream was not a reality. And that I know and have faith that God knows me and knows my heart and knows that if I just trusted him and went and took those steps to make it possible, that I would be able to have that peace and comfort my entire life that I didn't make a mistake. Can you imagine? And I can't even wrap my mind around the fact of what if? What if I never did that? And what if I was like, heck no, that's dumb. I'm not going to be a single widow with three kids and a brand new baby. And I'm not going to do that. That does not make sense at all. But I followed my heart and I had faith. And I am so happy and so grateful that I did. I can't imagine having that torment in my mind my whole life. And so that level of peace strengthened me so much. That was hard to get off my chest, but there you guys go. So how do we have faith? I wrote it down into four steps. One, read. We need to be reading and studying. When we read about those stories in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon of amazing, incredible people that had really hard, horrible things happen to them in their lives, but God worked miracles through them because of their faith. And that's what he'll do to us. If we have faith in him, he will help us get through impossible, horrible things, and we'll be able to bless others while we do that. Like, I try to wrap my mind around the fact, even Moses said, they walked on the sand and it was dry when he parted the Red Sea. It blows my mind to think of that. And so many people are laden with problems in the scriptures and impossible trials and tasks, but when they have faith, they get peace and strength and comfort. Think of Daniel going in the lion's den, and you think of David with Goliath. Here's this literal giant, and he has a sling with a rock. Can you imagine how people would ridicule and the laughter that came? But he had faith. Was it scary? Did he, you know, like me, like want to puke and think of, oh my gosh, there's no way I can do this? But you need to have the courage and the strength, and that comes from reading and studying and knowing those Bible stories, that when we are familiar with those, that gives us more power. That gives us more hope, more belief, more faith. Like, oh my gosh, if God did that for those people, God could do that for me too. And as I study and as I read my scriptures, it empowers me. It helps me. It helps me get hope and peace and comfort and strength that, oh my gosh, Nephi, that sucks. He was betrayed. He was tied up on a boat for 3 days and didn't complain, and he gloried his God. What the heck? I wouldn't have done that. I'd have had some hefty complaining, but he didn't. So then when I'm having a hard time in my life, because I have, number one, read and try to read and study, the Spirit brings those stories, recollection to my mind, and then it strengthens me. It's like, it's not that bad. I can do this because God has helped so many countless people throughout the course of history. He's going to help me, and he will help you if you're studying and seeing that he does and he can, and he talks to you through the scriptures. That's what gives you strength and peace and hope. So number one, read. Number two, pray. How to have faith. Faith is an action word, and I've learned that so much over the last several years. Faith isn't just saying, yeah, I have faith. But faith is actually work on your part. What action are you going to be doing? So one, your first action is read. Two, your second action is pray. Like, pour out your heart. And I have, as of late, been pour. Well, actually, I don't know. Me and my closet go way back for like 8 years. Clint's cancer came back like 8 years ago. Yeah, and I would just go in my closet and cry and pray. And that's where Jesus knows me the best, is in my closet. And when you pray, God already knows what you need. But when you pray, you give him the opportunity to show up in your life. You verbally say you need him. And then as you move forward, you see that he's listening. And I love that. Open up your heart to God and talk to him. And he will empower you through prayer. So that's number two. Number three is be obedient. It is so hard to continue to press forward when life is not easy. To continue to press forward when it is impossible. It feels impossible. Going to church? Can you imagine going to church after a terminal diagnosis? Like, me and Clint are dreading it because it is like walking down the hallway of a funeral. I mean, people look at you and they're just, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, bless their hearts. I love them. And we had such a good support network. But it was so hard after bad news, after bad news, after bad news to go to church. Like, we just wanted to shut everybody out and pretend like nothing was wrong. And church was a reminder of, oh my gosh, yeah, our life sucks right now. That's our attitude before we went to church. And then when we went to church, renewed our covenants by taking of the sacrament, the bread and the water, the body and the blood of Christ to help strengthen us and help us remember our covenants to be like him, then we were strengthened. Then by the time we got home from church, it was like, I am so glad we went to church. Have you had that experience where you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to go. And then when you come home, you're like, man, I'm so glad I did. So being obedient is hard, but press forward and be obedient. Cling to your covenants. Cling to those promises that you've made to God that you will do what he asks. And when you do that, when you have that action of obedience, you're going to be blessed. You will see God in your life. And then number four for me was persevere. Don't give up. Don't give up on God because he's never going to give up on you. The last several months for me have been really, I don't know, more than several, but the last good while has been difficult, and especially fall of last year moving forward, and I was in darkness. Like, I had so much fear and anxiety and uncertainty in my life. And I have never, and I still, I know what I need to do, right? So I'm reading my scriptures as I'm driving in the car. I'm not even listening to the radio. I am surrounding myself with the word of God to and from my destinations. I am attending church, and I'm still feeling darkness. I'm still feeling anxiety. Like, I am in my closet crying because it's so hard and praying to God, please help me. And I have never in my life gone so many months in darkness. And I just kept hoping and having faith and believing that God would show up for me. And he did. And it seemed to me that he had to have me go through that darkness, had to have me go through those months so I could feel this bright hope and peace that started to filter into my heart. And it started to filter in. And I remember the exact moment is that here's my new life. I've divorced. I've switched my kids' schools. Life, why is this? All of these questions, why God, why? And it's like, no, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to have hope. And I'm going to move forward. And I'm going to trust and obey and cling to my covenants. And I have a busy schedule now. And I was just, I had worked in the temple the last year in Provo. And now as I moved, I'm in a different temple district and I have a different life. But I went to my bishop and I'm like, hey, I want to work at the temple. And I bugged him for about 3 weeks. And then when I went in for the interview with the temple president, and again, preface, this is darkness I've been in, right? For the last several months, just praying still and hoping and obeying and trying to move forward and believe that God's going to show up, that I'm going to feel God in my life. And when I walked out of that temple that day with that interview with the temple president, and I picked a day and a little 3-hour shift that I could go and do every week, my heart felt so light and so infused with joy and happiness. And so this was the evening, right? And then I got home that night and out of the blue, Clint's cousin that we haven't seen for 5 years shows up and helps me with my podcast because I hadn't launched it yet, but I had recorded my stuff and had all these pieces that I needed to pull together, right? Technologically wise to make my first episode. And he sat there and was like, oh, here, let me see you do this and you do that. And I'm just like, you are a literal angel sitting on my couch. Like right now, God has sent you to my house. Like, what are the odds of randomly, I haven't seen you for 5 years, and I go to the temple for my interview and I said to God, I'm going to give it up to you. I'm giving you my whole heart and I will do and show you that you are a priority to me, God. And that's what I said when I left the temple. Like, I want you to know you're a priority to me. And then I got home and there's Clint's cousin. And I was like, God, I felt him say, Camille, you're a priority to me. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And he didn't need to do that. God didn't need to do that. I could have figured that out myself. But it was such a sweet, tender experience for me to be like, yeah, God is there for me. And then that next morning, and every morning since then, I have felt so happy, like so much joy. And I said to my kids a couple days later, it was a Sunday, and I'm just like, I could explode with happiness. Like, I could explode with joy. Nothing had changed in my life, okay? My so-called crappy circumstances, nothing had changed, but my perspective and my heart. Like, I knew that God had heard my prayers for those months that I was in darkness, and he let me go through that darkness. He let me go through that. I don't know why, but oh my gosh, let me tell you, that joy was so sweet, and it is so sweet. I still am on a joy high because I'm trying to do those four things. I'm trying to read every day, pray every day, obey my covenants, and not give up. I'm trying to do that every day, and I feel like my heart is going to explode with sunshine. Like, I have so many blessings, and I don't know why I couldn't see that for those hard months, but it's like something God moved in my mind, and I was able to feel that hope and that peace and that happiness, and I just can't even believe it that each day I am filled with so much joy, and my faith was so strengthened from those two experiences. So one with the baby, several years ago, and then just the last 3 months, you know, just last fall to winter to, you know, just in January is when I started at the temple, up here in Ochre Mountain Temple, working, like volunteering once a week. That was just how fresh and new it was. And it's the middle of February right now, you know, but every day since then. So it's been a solid month of me bursting with joy and sunshine every day. Like, I seriously feel like I won the lottery. Like, I don't even know why. Like, I'm so happy. Jesus, I love you, Jesus. And I know that peace and happiness comes from the action of faith. And we are not given that joy. We're not given that payoff until we put forth the work. And sometimes that work might have to continue for months. Like, I was shocked for months. I was like, oh my gosh, why am I still in darkness? I'm doing all these things, but I still persevered. I still didn't give up. And I felt God's light after several months. And he's there and he's real. And I know that he'll help you. I wanted to read one more thing too in Ether, which is in the Book of Mormon, which is another testament of Jesus Christ. It's when Christ visited the ancient Americas, and it's the people in the ancient Americas and a record of their dealings and faith and experiences with our Savior Jesus Christ. So in that book, the Book of Mormon, Ether chapter 12, verse 6, it says, "And now I, Moroni, would speak somewhat concerning these things. I show unto the world that faith is things which are hoped for and not seen. Dispute not, because ye see not. Wherefore, ye receive no witness until after the trial of your faith." If you're not willing to work for it, God's not going to give you that joy. It's not just like one, well, maybe, hopefully, maybe you'll be so lucky to be like one prayer. And some people have those stories, you know, and I have experienced instantaneous strength from God. And I'll talk about those in future episodes. But for this particular one, for me, faith, months of darkness and then just being infused with light. Oh my gosh, I am so grateful that I didn't give up, that I didn't stop persevering. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys today, is that don't give up. God is there for you. And no matter how hard your life is, if you keep moving forward, if you keep reading their scriptures and learning about people that put their faith in God and were blessed for it, and praying and being obedient and obeying the commandments and persevering, don't give up, because God will never give up on you. And I love that. I think it's amazing. And I know that in my life, if you want an increased amount of peace and joy, have more faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. And that darkness, that anxiety, and that fear will be dispelled. And you'll feel enveloped because of the love of our Savior Jesus Christ. And that joy and peace will permeate your life. And I am here to testify of that. I love my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know that He's there for me. And I know Heavenly Father will listen to you. And is your life hard? Use that action. Put forth that faith and believe in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Believe that He will help you. Believe that He will be there for you and pull you through those dark times. And I testify to you that it's true. God is real. Jesus Christ was born, came here, sacrificed, paid for all of our sins and atoned for them in a way that's unbelievable into our concept of our mind. But He's gone through what we've gone through. And if we put faith in Him and pour out our hearts to Him and have action, He will show us that He's there for us. And I love that. And lately I've been praying, God, please give me the eyes to see and the ears to hear you in my life. And as I've done that, I've been able to notice every day little things that help me realize, oh my gosh, thank you, God. That's you. That's you. That's you. And I'm so grateful for that. Don't get down on yourself. If your faith isn't as strong as you want, that's okay. Tomorrow is another day. Start now. Pick your Bible up tonight. Get on your knees tonight. Do something. Do a little bit every day to try to be a little better. And I hope this helped you guys with faith. And I love you guys. And I believe in you guys. And put on your big girl pants. And have faith. And do the work that it takes to see the evidence of God in your life. Love you guys.